This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You might assume younger generations are becoming more progressive when it comes to relationships and equality, but a new global survey is raising eyebrows, suggesting that some Gen Z men are actually holding more traditional views about gender roles than older generations. In fact, the research found young men were twice as likely as baby boomer men to believe a wife should obey her husband. So, what's going on here? Is this backlash confusion about modern masculinity, or something else entirely?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren, welcome. I can just imagine your facial reaction when you read this.
Oh, it was a head in the hands moment, except that I don't think it's surprising. There's been a number of kind of hints that we've been getting that this data isn't a surprise. There's this entire industry of young men basically selling these ultra-conservative, if not women-hating, messages online, on social media, in podcasts.
When I was reading it then, I feel bad for this, but when I said, the survey found about a third of Gen Z men think a wife should obey her husband, I almost burst out laughing with obey her husband. It just sounds so ridiculous and so yesterday to even think that anyone still believes that.
Well, I didn't even grow up with my grandparents acting like that.
No.
You know, so for me, where this feels like it's so incredibly foreign to me. I mean, this research actually came to my attention because my dad mentioned it to me. He was so incredibly horrified. And that idea of how have we come this far in gender equality to only now get this type of data, that really calls into question what's happened in the two intervening generations that has seen so much progress and has now suddenly really flown backwards.
What do you reckon has happened in the two generations?
Look, there's a few things that's happened. I mean, this is the first generation that has had their entire life online. So that idea, you and I, Warren, we had a life before the internet, then the life after the internet. But we certainly had some time socializing and being educated pre-internet. So I think the internet is a big factor there, because a lot of this kind of information dissemination is being given to young men before they're at an age where they can critically evaluate it. So I think that's the big one. But the research seems to suggest that economics plays a part in this. What they say in the study is that the traditional ways that men have exerted masculinity, buying a house, being the primary breadwinner, those things are pretty much gone now. They may obviously be, 50% contributors, if not a little bit more, but the idea of a man being the sole breadwinner, that's a pipe dream in this economy. So those markers of how would a man assert masculinity in the way that it's traditionally been defined, and in a way that men seem to, in some respects, admire, how do you do that in 2026 if the standard ways aren't available? And one suggestion from this study is by clutching onto some of those, sort of personality attributes that we tend to associate with masculinity, the sort of macho stuff that for a couple of generations actually seemed quite old-fashioned.
When we see a generational gap like this, though, what does it suggest about how some young men are thinking about relationships and authority today?
Yeah, well, I think this is also a lot of these men are disenchanted by the fact that they're not coupling in the ways that they were. And I think that's also a generational thing, in the sense we socialize differently now. We do a lot of our socializing online, which means some of those traditional ways to meet a partner in person have gone. This is part of the research that suggests that Generation Z is having less sex than equivalent age groups in generations gone by. So I think that is part of it. But the other is, as young men are becoming more conservative, young women are becoming more progressive. So if these men are heterosexual and thinking that they're going to get, you know, coupling up, it's not going to be with women who are the same age, because they're being pushed further left when they're hearing this garbage. Why would they, who are, you know, more at a higher level than any other time in history, they're more educated, they're earning more, at least in countries like Australia, why would they suddenly want to hitch their wagon to this guy who's treating them diabolically and wants to chain them to the kitchen sink and have them worship him? It's delusional, but yet will only make them further angrier and more misogynist.
I can just see the dates. I'd love to be there on the dates when, you know, the girl says, where do you see us? Where do you see our future? Were you obeying me? They'd walk out of the restaurant.
But is that not what's playing out on Married at First Sight at the moment? It's not a show that I watch, but no. I've seen Tanya Plibersek, our social services minister, talk about one of the characters on that show who's literally espousing those views to a woman who's, you know, career woman is a rather sort of reductive identity, but someone who certainly had a career, telling her, I want you to be obeying me, that I'm the head of the household. This is farcical. What woman isn't going to laugh at this?
Another finding was that many Gen Z men feel men are being asked to do too much to support gender equality. What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, well, I'd like to see what they actually have done so far, right? These men who are complaining that they've been, because being asked is one thing, Warren, but are you doing anything? Because that's like, you know, saying, could you clean the house? If you say no every time or just don't do it every time, you're not really doing much, but I'm asking you. And I'm just curious as to what these men think is happening here. One of the suggestions of the study, though, is these are the same men who kind of think of gender equality as a zero-sum game where they're going to, if women make progress, men are going to lose stuff. They kind of see it as a plate of cookies.
Not enough
pie. Women
get
stuff, it's being taken from taken it from men's plates. And I think that, if I had to read into it, is what they are meaning when they say something along the lines of being asked to do too much. Because what else is there that they're actually doing?
Lauren, something that's always been important to me in relationships is that my partner is independent or self-sufficient, yet around a quarter of Gen Z men are saying women shouldn't appear too independent or self-sufficient. I find that really strange because personally I would find that suffocating.
Well, I find it strange because these are the same men who go online and call women gold diggers. Which is it? Like, do you want them dependent on you or do you want them to be independent? It seems like these men, these young men, are very confused, because is it that you want me to perform obedience and perform sort of being subservient to you and needing your contributions to uphold my lifestyle? Or do you actually want me to do that? And if so, then you're going to have to pay for it, which means you're going to have to earn enough to keep our entire household, which seems to fly, you know, they don't want that either. So it's unclear what they want, but there's a strong feeling of resentment out there.
Okay, this is where your eyes go all googly. Many of these same young men say women with successful careers are more attractive.
Yeah, this is a weird, that was the generation in this study that had the highest rates of finding successful women who had careers appealing, which is very strange. And I wonder if that's the, well, if they've got a career, they can pay for themselves. Okay, if that's the case, but then what? They're going to somehow be able to turn it on and off and be submissive to you now that we're in a couple? I don't understand how that idea is going to work in a relationship sense, which makes me think, I wonder if a lot of the men who were surveyed, the younger men who were surveyed for this study, haven't had relationships.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about some new research suggesting some Gen Z men are expressing more traditional views about gender roles than older ones. I find this a bit concerning too. The research found some young men place stricter expectations on themselves. For example, believing men shouldn't say I love you to male friends, or that caregiving makes men less masculine. This whole thing about being less masculine, sort of like, you know, be a man. I find that really frightening.
it's frightening, but it also feels like it's only a set of values that have could have possibly come from men themselves. It's kind of like when you read on forums where men are angry when they find out that women are attracted to someone like, say, the comedian Jack Black, because they think, well, hang on, he's not built. I spend all this time in the gym. Why are women interested in him and not me? Now, that pressure to go to the gym is often internal. It comes from within, that this idea of men feeling like they need to bulk up. Other men have dictated that standard. That's not coming from women. And I think it's the same thing as this idea of hiding your feelings, not to love. What woman wouldn't want their partner to care for them? Like, this doesn't make any sense at all. This feels like nonsense that they've heard in forums, as though that, you know, treat him mean, keep him keen. This sort of weird TV junk pseudoscience, or not even pseudoscience, relationship advice that doesn't translate in the real world.
The thing about the gym thing, I find it really sad. Even today I noticed when I was doing my workout, you know, there's young kids there, and their whole self-esteem is based on their body. You know, they've got their tops off in front of the mirror. They're shaming each other because they haven't, you know, eaten the right thing or what have you. And it makes me sad to think that, I mean, yeah. We as gay men had that pressure amongst ourselves. Yeah, it just seems everywhere.
Yeah, and it also, again, though, it's being blamed somehow weirdly on women when it's not beauty standards dictated by women. So I can understand it in a gay context in that respect, but the idea of these men in this study sort of blaming women and expectations of women when you're setting them yourselves, there are equivalent examples in terms of, you know, for beauty standards related to women. Think of things like lip injections, where heterosexual men will say they don't like them. Women feel that they're a beauty standard that they have to adhere to. And it's one of those weird things that women perpetuate as opposed to men, because you internalise this idea of what you think is the gold standard for your gender.
Lauren, if we want younger men to feel included in conversations about equality rather than threatened by them, what kinds of messages or role models make the biggest difference?
Yeah, this is a hard one, because we always say, every time there's research like that, people say, oh, there's got to be sporting role models. You know, there's got to be role models from sport. And look, I do think that there is partly that's an answer, in the sense that if you're going to say, don't listen to Andrew Tate, don't listen to these Manosphere podcasts, what's the alternative? So we do have to give them some kind of alternative. But I think the story of gender equality has to be explained in a way that's not just why women need to be given a leg up because of hundreds of years of inequality, but rather how men actually benefit from equality too. That idea of, for example, all of the stress and anxiety that men feel about playing the man, having that burden lifted from your shoulders is actually a really positive thing that comes with gender equality. And it's weird that there's such a pushback against it.
I know, let's do a big sigh of relief. Like, it's lifted. There you go.
Yeah.
Lauren, I agree with you 100%. Maybe they should listen to the radio rather than listening to these podcasts in the manosphere.
Look, this is what, if they could just put on Joy instead, I think it would be a better world, Warren.
I've got this theory about radio. I mean, we're all listening to the same thing at the same time. We're all belonging. Whereas, you know, these podcasts, you could be the only one listening in a very lonely world.
Not to mention the advantage of community radio anyway. The podcasters particular, I mean, they're there to make money. There's follow the money. They're trying to sell you on something and getting paid for it at the same time.
Mind you, I'm about to say goodbye and play a podcasting. So, Lauren, always good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.